You're listening to the Men's Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Hey, men, welcome back to the podcast. Pastor John, we are going to talk today about receiving criticism specifically from our wives. If you're like me, your wife is often the last person that you want to give you criticism. I personally feel like I have pretty thick skin. I don't really long for people's approval. I feel like I can take constructive criticism and even some not so constructive criticism, but I get all bent out of shape at the slightest criticism from my wife. And I think that's because there is no one in the world that I want to respect me more than I want my wife to respect me. In Emerson Egerich's book, Love and Respect, The Love She Desires and the Respect He Desperately Needs, he points out that what a man desires most from his wife is to feel respected. That's a need that we have that's deeper than feeling cherished by her, that's feeling loved by her, is we want to feel respected. And it's just hard to feel respected when you're being criticized. It is a knee-jerk reaction to feel disrespected when someone points out a shortcoming or a flaw. Now, that's not the truth of the matter always. That individual doesn't disrespect us all the time just because they're pointing out a flaw, but we feel disrespected. Now, I do want to clarify that I realize, guys, and man, as I say this, my heart breaks for you if this describes you, but I know some of you are in a marriage where your wife's criticism is anything but constructive. It's just constant. It's not for your benefit. It's not for the health of the marriage. Your relationship has gotten to that stage where she just criticizes regularly. And I just pray that if that's you, I pray that God continues to strengthen you to keep fighting for your relationship if that's the case. I don't really have any easy answers for you today, men, other than that in your weakness, God's strength is made perfect if that's your situation. So hang in there. Keep playing the man. Keep fighting for your marriage. But I think for most of us, our wife isn't criticizing us because she wants to belittle us. She's not doing it because she wants to tear us down. She's generally doing it and genuinely doing it because she wants the best for us. She wants the best for our families. She wants the best for our marriages. And I think that's a big key, is to understand where she's coming from. And so as we kick this off, I do recognize there is a difference between helpful criticism and constant nagging. And so what I'm going to focus more on is that healthy criticism. And responding well to healthy criticism from our wives can help us grow as a husband and a father. It demonstrates that we're teachable. Now, again, this is not the same thing as just being emasculated by constant criticism. But for most of us, we should seek to give our wives the benefit of the doubt. And if you're in a situation where you feel like the criticism is constant, it's negative, it's not for your good, I think that's the time you want to call in a trusted spiritual leader for discernment. Help someone with a fresh set of eyes see what's really going on. Because sometimes we may have a jaded perspective, and maybe our wife really isn't as negative as we like to think she is, and maybe she is doing it for our good, but we haven't changed, and so we're getting repeated criticisms of the same issue, and we can then feel like that's all she ever does is complain, when in reality, that's not the case. So if you feel like you're in that situation, I would encourage you to bring someone in. Proverbs 25:24 says, it's better to live alone in the corner of an attic than with a quarrelsome wife in a lovely home. So again, I'm not trying to defend your wife if her criticism is constant and it's negative, but try to give your wife the benefit of the doubt and treat her criticism as something she is offering because she is your helpmate, because God brought the two of you together. She hopes to motivate you. She wants to see you be the kind of husband and father God has called you to be. And when she is bringing criticism, ask her to be specific. Specific in the ways that she needs to see improvement or change. I think so often our wife's criticism can be vague. And so even if I'm in the right headspace where I'm receiving it well, I'm not a mind reader. I want to know exactly what can I do here. And so, for example, if your wife comes up and says, I don't feel like a priority anymore. You know, I feel like you put me last in our marriage. Now, that may be a genuine feeling she has, but I may not understand why she feels that way. It would be much better if she came to me and said, John, you're coming home late every night. For 2 weeks now, you've come home late, you know, 12 out of the 14 days. And when you're home, we rarely talk. And then when you do have time off, you're spending it on your hobbies. And so I don't feel like a priority anymore. Now, I may not like to hear that, guys, but if she's giving me very specific reasons why she feels that way, that's going to be a lot easier for me to receive that. And if she'll even use I feel because statements, that can be extremely helpful. And I bring this up because this is where you can help your wife help you. So give your wife ideas on how she can bring these things up to you. And we're going to talk about that in a little more detail here in just a minute. But again, God created our wives to be our helpmate. So let's take advantage of that. I think one of the biggest things we should do is just be grateful that we have a wife who cares enough to want us to be a godly man, to want us to be a godly husband. Imagine if it was the other way around. Imagine if your wife had no desire at all for you to live a godly life. That would be a different burden altogether. And I would say a harder burden, a more difficult burden. Now, let's say that you are in a situation where you feel like your wife is just constantly criticizing. Again, get some help. Get a spiritual leader. Get a trusted brother and sister in Christ, another couple, to come in and listen and give you insight. Don't turn it into a gripe session. Make sure your spouse is aware that you're bringing other people in on it. You don't want to blindside them with this. And so give them advance notice that you're going to do this. And this is maybe how you present that to your wife. Honey, it seems like in the majority of our conversations, you're criticizing me. I know I'm not perfect, but I feel like it's getting out of hand. And I'm asking for some help because I am committed to our marriage. I am committed to you. I love you. I choose to love you. But I'm starting to get worn out from the constant criticism, and I need some help. And I recognize that I need to change, and I'm willing to change, but I need some balance here. And so I've asked our pastor to come in and meet with us, or I've asked this couple that we both respect to come in and meet with us. In the meantime, keep serving her. Keep loving her like Christ loves the church. Keep choosing to love her, even in the face of criticism. And here's why we do that. This is also from the book, Love and Respect. The author says, ultimately, you practice love or respect because beyond your spouse, you see Jesus Christ. And you envision a moment where you will be standing before him at the final judgment, realizing that your marriage was really a tool and a test to deepen and demonstrate your love and reverence for the Lord. I believe that God wants us to be happy in our marriages. Marriage was God's idea. You know, he created it as a gift for us. But I don't think happiness is the only thing God wants us to have in our marriages. I think he also uses our marriage to make us more holy. Truly, I don't think there's another relationship we have on this earth that causes us, if we want to do it well, to live more like Jesus than our marriage relationship does. So keep fighting the fight, man. Hang in there. Bring in some help if you need help. Please don't let it get out of hand to where you get to the point where, you know, you can barely listen to your wife speak because it just sounds like nails on the chalkboard. And I don't want to make light of that, but I've been doing some meetings with some couples at our church over the last few months now. And that's where a couple of them are. I mean, we can't even have constructive conversations. There's so much just vitriol in the room because they let it go so long without getting help. So if you feel like you need some help, get it while you're still motivated to work on your marriage. Get it while you can still recognize a lot of the good things about your spouse. So I mentioned earlier that one of the things we should try to do is help our wives help us in this area. So I would encourage you, give your wife direction on how she can relay constructive criticism in a way that you're more likely to receive it. Not, again, it's always going to sting a little, but there is definitely some ways that our wife can relay criticism to us or can relay speaking truth in love, which is really what she's doing, that we're going to be more likely to receive than others. I think of Proverbs 25:11. It says, timely advice is lovely, like golden apples in a silver basket. So that word timely there is important. I think Solomon, who is the wisest man on earth, was like, look, I get it. There's going to be times that even though the advice is good, if it's at the wrong time, if it's late, if it's in front of people where you feel disrespected, it's not going to be taken well. So I always like to think about the right truth at the right time. So how can your wife relay that right truth to you? And when is the right time? I mean, obviously, you don't want her to do it in front of the kids. That should be a rule that both of you have for one another, that you're not going to criticize your wife in front of the children, and she's not going to criticize you in front of the children. I think another rule is not out in public, not out in public. Now, man, again, you shouldn't disrespect your wife in public, but it just drives me nuts when I see women, and Christian women, women who are active in their faith, who go to church, who will disrespect their husband, and not so much like nagging at them, but correcting them in front of everyone. Don't do that, ladies. For the few ladies who listen to this podcast, and men, when you're sharing this with your wife, again, affirm for her, honey, I know there are things I need to work on, and I want to get better. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better father, but please don't call me out in public. Wait until we're home. Wait until we're alone. And then lastly, don't call me out when emotions are high. You know, my wife has learned over the years, I have a temper. I'm a lot better than I used to be, but I still have a temper. It's still an area where I'm growing, where the Holy Spirit's bringing sanctification. And she used to correct me like in the midst of one of those, you know, temper tantrums, which is not the right thing to do. And so she has learned now that, you know, she'll do it after the fact. She'll connect with me and just say, hey, the way you reacted on the drive home the other night, the kids were in the car, John. Like, what kind of example was that? And again, I didn't like to hear that. I mean, that's a real life thing. That just happened about 2 weeks ago. It's not that I love to hear that, but she was right. And I wasn't still in the heat of the moment. My emotions weren't high. It wasn't in front of the kids. It wasn't out in public. And so I received it. I told her she was right. I said I was sorry. I asked her to forgive me, and I thanked her for bringing that to my attention. I want to talk to any of the men whose primary love language is words of affirmation. If your primary love language is words of affirmation, you're going to be extra sensitive to criticism. And so you just need to be aware of that, that your wife's feedback is probably not as harsh. It's probably not as negative as you think it is, or at least it's not as harsh and negative as another person would receive it. Because when your love language is words of affirmation, the way that you receive it is probably 10 times heavier for you than for someone who has a different primary love language. So you just may need to share with your wife, when you're going to bring constructive criticism, when you're going to speak truth and love to me, I need to hear some words of affirmation first. That's a good rule in general for us. It's a good parenting rule that if you're going to bring correction to your kids, affirm them first. I've even heard the old 3-to-1 rule. If I've got to bring up critique, let me affirm someone in three ways. You know, talk about three things they're doing well before I bring up where they need to improve. You know what's going to work for you, but guys, your wife is not a mind reader. Just like we're not mind readers. I think it's one of the biggest frustration men have sometimes with our wives is they assume we just know what's going on, and we don't. We're not mind readers, but neither is your wife. So help her help you. I would also say it's important to get clarity on the action steps moving forward. So if my wife brings something to my attention and it's something that I need to work on, I want to know how to work on it. I want to know what my objective is moving forward. Now, I'm going to pray for the Holy Spirit to give me the strength to do that. This isn't just about me trying harder, but I still need to know what the action steps are. And your action steps need to be measurable, they need to be specific, and they need to be realistic. So you've got to fight for clarity here, guys, and it is work. It's hard, it's not easy, but when your wife is speaking truth and love and she says, for example, I need you to be more tender, I need you to be more compassionate, that's really difficult. That's really difficult to know 3 months from now, was I more compassionate? So let's be specific. How can I show that I'm more compassionate? Is it that when we're talking, I'm going to make sure my phone is put away and I'm going to make eye contact? That when you bring a problem to me, honey, I'm not going to try and solve it until you say, what do you think? Or what's your advice? Like at the beginning, I'm just going to listen. If I just need to sit there and hold you, I'm going to do that. Like, what are those specific action steps that would help you be more compassionate? If she asks you to help out more around the house, I could really use some help around the house. I know you're busy. I know you work full time, but we're just at this season where the kids are running around. I'm taking them everywhere. I need your help around the house. If you just leave it at that, you know, you might think getting your dirty clothes in the hamper instead of throwing them on the floor, that you've done what she's asking you to do. Now, that's a good first step. But what is the measurable, specific, and realistic action plan moving forward? The other thing I would encourage you to do is get an accountability partner aside from your wife to help you stick to the action steps. So this is where having a brother in arms, another Christian brother that you love and they love you, and you can be like, hey, Mike, my wife has asked me to be a better listener, and here are the specific action steps she's asked me to take. Can you do me a favor and can you just check in with me every couple of weeks or so and ask me if I'm following through with these things? Because here's what you don't want to have happen. You don't want your wife to have to be the primary accountability partner when she's the one who had to call you out in the first place. Because you're going to receive it as nagging. You just are. You're going to feel like, man, no matter how hard I try, it's just not good enough if she's the one who has to keep calling you on the carpet when you're not following through. So get that accountability partner. Get that guy that loves you. Get that guy that you know you're going to be honest with. Share with him what your action steps were and ask him to help keep you accountable. Now, here's why all of this, I think, is important. Not only will it make our marriages better, but the wise seek instruction. It's all throughout the book of Proverbs. I'm going to read several Proverbs here in just a minute to you guys. But if we want to be wise, then we're continuously seeking feedback. We're open to instructions. And the reality is, you know, God has blessed us with our wives. The Bible says that he who has found a wife has found a good thing and has obtained favor from the Lord. Our wife knows the real us. She knows the us that often no one else knows or very few people know. So she's going to have helpful insight into areas where we need to make some changes. But let me just read a couple of these passages about the wise appreciating instruction and correction. Proverbs 10:8. The wise are glad to be instructed, but babbling fools fall flat on their faces. Proverbs 11:2. Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Have you ever had a prideful response when your wife tried to speak truth and love to you? Have you ever pulled the you don't know what it's like card? You don't know what I deal with? We have to be careful of that. Proverbs 12:1. To learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. I just love how the Bible is so blunt. It's stupid to hate correction. So if you want to be wise, if you want to learn, you need to love discipline and you need to be willing to listen to and heed correction. Proverbs 13:13. People who despise advice are asking for trouble. Those who respect a command will succeed. Now, I think the husband wears the mantle of leadership in the home. I'm not saying that our wife should give us commands. I'm not saying that we need to submit to her authority. We do not submit to her authority, but we absolutely submit to her desires and her wishes on a regular basis. That's part of what loving our wives like Christ loved the church looks like. So don't despise advice, because Proverbs says when you do that, you're asking for trouble. And then lastly, Proverbs 13:18. If you ignore criticism, you will end in poverty and disgrace. If you accept correction, you will be honored. And we all want to be honored by our wives. Again, that's a deep desire that men have. They want to be respected and honored by their wives. One of the ways she will honor you is if you're teachable, is if you're open to correction. Because it shows that you're not prideful. It shows that the marriage and your wife and your kids and the family are more important to you than your own comfort. They're more important to you than your own reputation even, that's what you long for. What wife wouldn't want to be in a marriage like that? So I think as we wrap this up, one of the things I just would encourage you to do is just change your whole mindset, especially, again, I'm not talking about a wife who just constantly is nagging you or belittling you, but I'm talking about a wife, maybe, for example, who is trying to push you to lead. Maybe you haven't always led your family. Maybe you haven't been wearing that mantle of leadership. Maybe you haven't taken on the spiritual authority in your home and you're a believer now. And your wife potentially has even been a believer longer than you have. And maybe she used to wear that hat. She used to be the spiritual leader in the home, but now she's hoping you'll do it and she's pushing you to do it. Can I just say, thank God for a wife who desires to see you to be more like Jesus. That's not a burden. That's a blessing. Just change your whole mindset on that. Like, God, my wife is a gift you've given me, and one of her roles is she's going to help me be more like Jesus, because we should all want to be more like Jesus. And this shift in how you view your wife's feedback, I promise you, it'll make a huge difference in how you see it. Again, she sees the real you. She sees the you when you're tired. She sees the you when you're stressed.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.